Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, how you guys doing? What's happening, Phoenix? Are you there, my brother? Phoenix is far away. He's in the kitchen.
I'm here. I'm right on the phone.
Okay. How you doing, my man?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Just glad to be back. And, you know, I only really get one day off, but it seems like forever. It's so weird. I don't know how that happens, but it does. It happens all the time. Every Tuesday, I'm, like, excited to be back here. And I think part of that is because we are, that our conversations, our topics are very interesting, as we have a very interesting topic today. The song you guys hear in the background is Kenny Loggins' This Is It. This Is It is a song that really blessed me. It redirected me. It reinforced what my father was trying to tell me, and I was really blessed because of it. So sometimes we need to be redirected, right? Because we're not always going in the right direction, but we have to try, right? You have to try something. You have to go for something. You just can't sit back and not, you know, pay attention to what you're about to do or what you're doing. And so, but sometimes the direction that we choose might not be the best, or the person that we choose may not be the best. And I remember when I first was, the first time I got engaged and I was about to get married, someone said to me, "Are you sure you want to get married?" And I go, "What?" And this is the strangest thing. It seems to happen to a lot of us that when someone goes against what you feel is right for you, it makes you want to do it even more so, just like kids. When you tell them, "No, you can't do that. Don't go over there. Don't do this." And it just makes the kid want to do it more. Well, let me fix this for a second. And so what's happening is that this thing that's built inside of us, I believe, that makes us want to go against the grain. And I could not hear anything my friend was saying to me in regards to why I shouldn't marry my wife, my first wife. I couldn't hear it because I wasn't trying to hear it. All I heard was don't. And it made me, and the saddest part about it made me dislike him a little bit because of that. That is just ridiculous that we have such a strong will about what we feel and what we want to do, even when people come to us and try to help us and make sure we're okay. Our will is so strong that they turn us off, like our parents. You know, they just turn us off, and we don't want to hear them anymore. And our friends even say, they don't know, they're old school. They don't know what they're talking about. And the kids start listening to them as opposed to the ones that have been there for them from the day that they were born. From the day you were born, I loved you. Now that you became a teenager, all of a sudden, I'm not going to love you anymore? You think that? What's going on here? So it's important, I believe, like I always say, that we all need to pay attention. And this topic Phoenix is going to tell us about is a very interesting topic, and I think we really, really need to pay attention in this situation. So, Phoenix, have you got settled yet? Are you
absolutely
settled? Okay, cool.
Yes, I am.
All right. So, I don't mind. I mean, I have a lot to say about this, and so I just want to make sure you're okay, because I know you're running from one program to another. So I just want to make sure you settle. You okay?
No,
you good
I'm absolutely fine, and you know. Listening to your monologue, I have come to terms in my own heart just how important and prolific of a subject that this is, because no matter who we are, no matter where we come from, our ethnic, social, economic background, we all are affected by love. And even our grand instructors gives us permission to understand our heart and helps us to understand that the heart sometimes can be deceptive. You can feel one way, but you see what you want to see. Like I remember my parents say, you look at things through rose-colored glasses. So today's topic says, I love you, comma, change of thought, but I don't always like you. So that's a commonality, I think, that crosses unilaterally across the board, crosses the seven seas. It doesn't matter where you are. We've probably all had a measure of this concept, and we've been there. I love you, but, I don't always like you. So it's something to discuss, something to talk about, something to bring out of the woodshed into the open and look at why we perhaps may feel that way. Because
Absolutely. Rejection
is a byproduct, and rejection can really, particularly depending upon where we are in terms of our maturity, rejection can strip us of everything we ever thought we knew about ourselves. We can really get out of bondage. So let's look at it. Let's talk about it.
Let's get right down to it. All right. So, I want to start off with the lyrics. You said that those lyrics of that song by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, you said that really said it all. And so I can't find it. Do you feel like reading those lyrics? Let me see if I can get it here. I don't know what
it's called. You Really Got a Hold on Me by the Miracles, which is,
okay.
I always love their name, the Miracles. I mean, so
yeah,
such an angelic name.
Mm-hmm.
But the lyric says, I don't like you, but I love you. Seems that I'm always thinking of you. You treat me badly. I love you madly. You've really got a hold on me. You really got a hold on me to the third power. It says it three times. Then it says, baby, I don't want you, but check this out, but I need you. Don't want to kiss you, but I need to.
right.
You do me wrong. My love is strong now. You really got a hold on me to the third power. Then it says, baby, I love you. And all I want you to do is just hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me to the fourth power, tighter, tighter. I want to leave you. I don't want to stay here. Don't want to spend another day here. Can't we relate? Oh, I want to split now. I just can't quit now. Look at the, look, look at the conflict. I want to split now. I just can't quit now. You really got a hold on me to the third power. And then finally it says, I love you, and all I want you to do, again, is just hold me, hold me, hold me. Sometimes we just need a hug, guys. We just need a hug. It says, you really got a hold on me to the third power. So, yes, I think this song cements from one end of the spectrum to the other the conflict that happens in a person's life when they love someone, but they don't like them. You know, I want to kiss you, but I don't want to, but I need to. I mean, come on.
Well, that's part of you. I mean, I believe that what happens is that people, they fall in love, and it's wonderful, and it's beautiful, and usually everybody's on their best behavior in the beginning of a relationship, and then we tend to get comfortable in the relationship, and we start to not do the things that we did in the beginning. And some people go, hey, wait a minute. You're not treating me the same. You're not doing what you did before. Wait a minute. Was that false advertisement? Are you really not who I thought you were? And so these are usually thoughts. And the person is just thinking this, but as they're thinking these things, their feelings are starting to be tampered with at the same time without them even knowing that it's just because this is real. This is the real deal. And you're thinking, if you're thinking this, you're going to start feeling this.
I just want to cut in real fast because I really want you to say this again. You said something on the top of your expression. You're putting on your best behavior. We need to let that sink in a minute. You know, we say, when you first meet somebody, you're opening the doors. You got your best cologne on. You brushed your teeth. You even cleaned the car. You did the carpet, the windows. Oh, you're a perfect gentleman. She's a perfect lady. Everything you say is complimentary. You're putting on your best behavior, but is that entirely realistic? Does that last longer than the first date, second date? No. The real you comes shining through. And, oh, my God, the moment you get married and you leave your shoes in front of the bed, she trips on it. You don't put the seat down. Oh, you woke up in the morning and said hello before you hit the toothbrush. Ugh. Suddenly, you're in a different frame of reference.
Well,
so
I just think that people need to really think about what they're getting into, because we are a victim of ourselves as well. Just like I was saying earlier when my friend was trying to, and he was just asking me, are you sure? Are you sure? I promise you, I was very upset with him, and I pushed off, and I pushed away. I didn't want to hear what he had to say, and right after I got married, 3 months into my marriage, I was in counseling. So, we can be a victim of ourselves as well, just like in the song when the guy is saying, I don't want to be with you, but I want to hold you. I want this, but I want this. I mean, we are a walking contradiction. We know something's not working, but yet, because we feel like we need it, we will put ourselves through it. And you're not just hurting yourself when you do that. You're hurting the other person, too, because they think they can continue to treat you the way that they're treating you, because you're getting what you want, even though you're not happy. See, we have to pay attention to who we are in this process. Wait a minute. I'm allowing something to go down that is not good for me. But we have a hard time we have a hard time at looking at ourselves. We want to keep looking at the person that's making us crazy. But we don't, we are not looking at what we're doing in it.
And you know what's funny? Unfortunately, as men, we pay more attention to the car we're going to buy. We want to know how many liters does the gas tank hold? You know, is this a 6 or an 8? You know, what's the torque? What's the high end? What's the low end reference? What's the differential, the rating, the roll cage? I mean, we ask a multiplicity of questions. But when we sit down with a potential marriage mate, hopefully that's your end game, I hope, and you say, you know, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Let's say we have a child and we get a call from the school that our child's been misbehaving. He cursed the teacher. He kicked her in the shins when she corrected him. You know, what's your plan of action? Do you pull little Johnny aside and when he comes home and give him a good talking to and very calm, like Leave It to Beaver? Or do you tell him, listen, go upstairs and get my strap, buddy. You know, I'm gonna give some carpal punishment here. I need you to bend over, pull your pants down. That's what my dad used to say. You know, go get the belt, bend over my knee, pull your pants. And it was horrifying. But I could tell you one thing. I never did that again. I never spoke out of turn to a teacher. I didn't kick her in the shins, in case you're wondering. But these questions, I think, are important when love is new. You know, what do you think about dietary concerns? What do you think about savings as opposed to a checking account? You know, where do you want to live and why? Do you need to be around your parents? Do you plan on hanging out or continuing with the friendships that you had prior to? Are you a sports person? Do you like sports? What's your team? Because sometimes people, if they're in the wrong team, that's a no-go. If they don't like dogs and they only like cats, oh, I can't stand a guy that likes cats, or vice versa. These are questions that could be considered. What's your religious affiliation? What's your spiritual inclination? Hey, I'm agnostic, or you know what? I don't believe there's a God at all. That might be a game changer to a person who is spiritual. So these and a host of many others are worthy of investigating before you put those love glasses on, those rose-colored love glasses, and you only see what, and you filter out all the other stuff that you didn't want to see. These are intelligent decisions, particularly in the times that we're living, to discern before you make that leap of love. What do you think?
Well, I think that's all good. I think that's definitely something that should happen. People should do that in the beginning. But, you know, now we're talking about we're in a relationship for years and we start to not like the person. This is after we've been through all the wonderful love and happiness and traveling and having a wonderful time together and possibly making kids together and, you know, and just doing life together. But then we get to a point where people start to change. People change, and you, but this is I think this is the most important to me, the most important part of protecting your relationship when you're moving and when you're in that space and you got so much invested. So you have to protect your investment. It's so important that you protect this investment. And so, because it's not funny games to be in love with someone but don't like them. That's a terrible place to be. And don't like them sometimes. Sometimes they're okay, but sometimes, you know. So,
but, you know, there's a song, Everything Must Change. Nothing stays or remains the same. And, you know, sometimes for people, they marry, and you were wearing a size 30 pant. And then 10 years down the line, you're wearing a 40. You develop man boobs and you get hair in all the wrong places. You know, well, but, you know, I'm reminded personally of the marriage vow. If people would only take what they said seriously, for richer, for poorer, for sickness and in health, you know, to death do us part.
Some say till breath do us part. These are changeable variables that can change the course over time. As to how, when you first met, I remember I went to this wedding. It was so funny that they were standing by the altar. It was a good buddy of mine in New York. His dad was the minister, and he gave the discourse. And he said, son, I want you to look at your wife. Wife, future, I want you to look at my son. It doesn't get better than this today. This is as good as he's ever going to look. You know, he's got the white tux on. She's got the white dress. She's got her makeup done by professionals, her hair. He says, I really want to underscore this point. It doesn't get any better than today. This is the absolute best that he and she is going to look. I want you to remember this when you have your first argument. I want you to remember this when you put some weight on. I want you to remember this when he comes in and he soils the carpet. I want you to remember this, to go back to this day, because things are definitely going to change. He starts to hairline recede. It might all fall out. She may no longer be voluptuous. She may never wear makeup again. She maybe, you know what, I don't even like Sephora. You don't know. But it's going to change. And so remember the day that you got married to the person and accept those variables. We all change. We do.
Well, this is the thing, though. I mean, if you love somebody, you love them no matter what. Especially if you're in a marriage relationship, you're supposed to be there with them to death do us apart, right? So sometimes people are not, I mean, most people don't stay the same as they were. They're going to gain weight. A lot of people do that. It doesn't change who they are on the inside. Our physical part is going to fall apart. You are supposed to be loving the person on the inside, not the person on the outside. You could be attracted to the outside, but you love the person on the inside. And something could happen to that person that they have no control over. And for you to, if you are stuck on the outside, then you have your own issues, because you are not living up to what your vows were. You know, and I think that is unfair. But I want to get back to my point, that I think the most important thing that we have to do in a relationship, not the beginning, but even in the beginning, but that has nothing to do. I'm talking about in a relationship. When someone says they love you, but they're not feeling you right now, the most important thing that we have to do is teach them how to treat us. It's our responsibility to let them know what makes us feel good and what makes us feel bad. And if we do that, then the person has a better a place to gauge and control. And they know when they're not doing that. And you've already set it up. So in other words, if somebody comes around you and they start saying, using profanity, and you let them know, hey, I'm uncomfortable with that. And so the next time they come around, if they continue to do that, then they're not respecting you and they need to go, right? But if they come around you again, and because you said that, they'll say, oh, well, I don't want to make them uncomfortable, so I won't do that. Then you know you got somebody that's reasonable, that's respectful to your feelings, and you can work with that. And that's how we should be in a relationship. So if someone was to come to me in the relationship, or Phoenix, let me ask you that. If someone comes to you in a relationship that you've been in and they tell you those words that they love you, but they're not comfortable or they don't like you all the time, how would you respond?
Well, you know, I'm taking it all in. And one of the things that comes to the fore is these are all academic touch tones that absolutely work if they're applied. It's like paint. What good is a can of paint if your house needs painting, but you leave the can of paint in the closet? You have to apply it. If you don't apply it, the paint is of no value. If you don't apply some of the touch tones that you've mentioned, it has no value. if they come back once or twice or three times or 10 times in curse. It depends on your temperament. Okay, listen, I'm going to cover over those transgressions. That's what the scripture says. I've failed you 7 times. Do it 77 times. Love never gives up. But you have to be, in my case, and this was said to me, actually. And I said, you know, I love you, and I make no apologies. I'm willing to do whatever I need to do in a reasonable way to accomplish and to embrace this relationship. But you have to tell me what am I doing wrong, and then I have to be in a position to rectify that. If it's monetarily and I don't have money, then I can't rectify it in a short term, but in a long term, we can work towards those goals. So I guess to answer your question in a roundabout way, there are a lot of variables, and this is not a black or white or a one-time fix before the end of this radio show.
Ask me.
But you have to be, you definitely have to be flexible. You have to be honest with yourself. You know, there's an old saying about constructive criticism. You know, if somebody's saying, you know what, you leave the seat up, you're peeing on the seat, you know, I go to use the bathroom, I almost fell in, you know, you're leaving your dirty underwear all over the place, that's rectifiable. That's an issue. That's a valid reason for somebody to say, you know, I had a nice house before I met you, you came and you trashed it, you work on your car, you come in with your greasy boots, you use my white linen, you wiped your hands, you know, man, dude. You need, you know, some recalibration. You need to fix that. And that's something that you either are mature enough to handle or you're not. It might be personal hygiene. Some of us may not care as much as the other person with personal hygiene. If your mate comes to you, male nor female, and says that's an issue, you have to be mature enough not to take it personally and go, you know what, you're right.
You know what?
Okay.
But I think it's what about like other issues? Those are obvious issues. But what about issues like, you know, a person may be feeling a little depressed more than they used to feel depressed. So they're not their jovial self anymore, you know, and they're just a little down. They're stressed out about their job. Things are not working out. People that they know in 2020, a lot of people died in 2020 that they knew, and they have, and it's affecting them in a really weird way. And but you don't know that. To a degree, so you're not really happy. You're like, I love you, but
yeah,
something's
my point is, that sounds academic, but if that's not your wheelhouse, you know, some people, Wardell, are just not. I've been accused of having a silver tongue. My wife tells me all the time I sound like an attorney. I'm analytical. I analyze things. I'm a spiritual person.
But has she
I use
told
God's
you
word
what
as
I just
reference.
Said? Has
yes.
she said what I just said?
Yes. And my point is that sometimes we're not equipped to deal with that. Just like on one side of the equation, this person is going through depression, as you mentioned. They lost loved ones. They may need professional help. Sometimes you have to know when to hold it and when to fold it and say, you know what? This is not in my wheelhouse. I didn't know that you were bipolar. I didn't know you needed medication. I didn't know that you needed years of counseling. I didn't know that maybe when you were younger, someone interfered with you sexually, emotionally. You had
okay,
scars.
But it doesn't matter. If we're married,
yeah, it does.
We're a couple.
It doesn't matter because
we're a couple, if we're a couple, you shouldn't have married me if you didn't get to know me.
This is what I'm saying, so we make sure we're on the same page. This is what I'm saying. It might be out of your wheelhouse. It does matter because it affects the marriage. And one needs to be in a position then to say, we need professional counseling. There's certain things that you can't fix. There's certain things that are unbeknownst to you. There's certain things that are in the closet, and that's why sometimes people pay years of therapy to unlock these things.
But you have to be, you have to be willing to sit down
and
talk about this.
Yeah, I'm saying academically, yes. You're willing, you're ready, you're able. Yeah.
I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure you're okay. You're my partner. And if you're not happy with me, something about me, or something's wrong with me, let's talk about it. Let's figure out what's going on. What is it?
But are you willing to accept that you may not be
able
to
fix it? Am I willing to accept? Hold on, I don't understand the question. Am I willing to accept
what?
No,
even though your intent, what I'm trying to say is your intentions might be good. You might say, you know what, honey, we're married for better or for worse. I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to talk about it, to work it out. What I'm saying is you might hit a wall. You might unearth something that was totally unbeknownst to you, that's bigger than the both of you. And all I'm suggesting is at that juncture, be smart enough, be willing enough to seek professional counseling.
Be loving enough.
Yes, loving enough.
Loving that person.
But what
enough.
I'm saying is some of us don't have the facility. I know some of my buddies, they're great guys, but they're not as imaginative as I might be. They're not as emotionally available. That's something I've been hearing a lot. Like, oh, you're emotionally available. Yeah, I am. I love to be able to expose my truest feelings. I think it's always best to come clean and say, you know, bottom line, I love you. And if you want me, I want you. Just like the song said, I don't want you, but I need you. You know, that said it all to me because I've been there. I don't want you. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like your girlfriends and where you hang out. But I need you.
What is it that you need?
I need your affection. I need your closeness. I like what you said earlier. I'm invested in this. I've pulled up stakes and I've planted them in this home. It's not a house no more to me. It's a home. And that home evolves with you within that inner circle. So even though I don't want you because of a lot of the things that you do, but I need you because I've accepted you within that inner circle. I've made a vow for me spiritually. The biggest thing that always haunts me is my relationship with my creator. No matter what I might feel, I never want to disappoint him. I never want to be on the other side of the equation because my arms are not big enough to box with God. I might get into a disagreement and say, oh, forget you. But then I know that I've just done something. God said, what I've brought together, let no man take apart. That's including the two married persons within the marriage arrangement. But that's my personal inference. You know, with my marriage mate, she's not as spiritually inclined, and I have to accept that. You know, that's not, you know, she's not even a Christian, and I don't look at her differently. I accept her. The fact that she doesn't share my same views, because I know the grand creator accepts many individuals within the Bible, Cyrus or you know, Paul, before he became the infamous Apostle Paul, he was a killer of Christians. So I try not to judge. I do that, I think, fairly well. My only point to what I'm saying is accept, know when to hold it, know when to fold it, know when you say, wait a second, we need professional help. This is a little beyond me. I don't know how to express what I'm feeling. Maybe if we sit down before a marriage counselor, someone who is not a friend, not a family member, not a girlfriend, not a guy friend, someone that's going to sit, maybe it's a pastor, maybe it's a psychologist that says, hey, you know, let's enter this session. Let's see what the pros and cons are, and let's work this out. We might really need that.
Okay, so that's true. And if that's the case, then that's what we should do. But before we get to that point, I mean, if we don't need that kind of thing, we just need us to come together and fix what's wrong. And it's not that kind of thing. It's just a matter of, you know, pulling somebody's chain and saying, hey, I'm uncomfortable with the way that you're treating me now. I'm just, and I think that people need to make sure that they don't sit on that, because a lot of times if you what is wrong and you sit on it for a long time, it becomes your norm, and then you forget that it was a problem. It just became normal to you, and everyone else is like, "Are you kidding me?"
And you let her talk to you like that? My only addition to that is that as a spiritual man, you have certain admonishments that are at your disposal. And knowing you a little, you have that within your wheelhouse. What I'm saying or suggesting as we look at the worldwide audience, sometimes I know guys, man, that don't say, my dad was that way. My dad was super intelligent, probably the smartest man that I ever knew. But my dad had no problem sitting at the table and letting my poor mother wait on him hand and foot. I remember there was one occasion my mother, she laughed. I said, "Mom, I remember being like 8 years old because I think I was in the Cub Scouts. And Dad would have his tea. And instead of saying to my mother, 'Hey, wife, could you hand me a spoon so I could stir my tea?' He literally, Wardell, took his finger, grunted like a Neanderthal, and twirled his finger around. And my mom looked at him and said, 'James, do you need a spoon?'"
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I think I'm the way I am, honestly, because I learned what not to do watching my father. Here was a super intelligent person. He couldn't say, "Hey, honey, could you do me a favor, please? You know, when you're not as busy, could you pass me a spoon?" So what I'm saying is some men are very poor. You know, like even Prince said, typical male. Maybe I'm not like my father. You know, some men are just very poor when it comes to communicating. Some men are very good. Some men that are very good might meet a woman that is not accustomed to a man being as verbal. And she might take it as an insult. So there's a lot of variables. That's what I'm trying to bring to the fore. And
all right, let me. Yeah, this is from the listeners. Are faults real or just my perception?
It depends. Perceptions could be real or they could be false. It depends, you know, if you have a true read, if you're really being honest with yourself. And sometimes, you know, I love the expression with your own disquieting thoughts. You know, you ever have a situation that gets a little out of hand? And then when you get a chance to go to bed and you sleep on it, you go, "You know what? I could have handled that a little differently. She wasn't saying anything out of the pocket. I just had a bad day." So, yes, your perception could be different. It could be altered. Sometimes I've gone back and read my text. You know, I've had kind of heated discussions via text. And I went back and I said, "Wow, that's not what she said. I totally misread that." But are we willing to change that perception? So there's a lot of variables, so yes and no.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, you know, this is tough for me. I have a very critical situation that's happening simultaneously to this show, and I can't talk about it right now, but I will get to it.
Tell it personal.
It's critical. It's got to do with my music career. And so it's had to do with a person in my music career. So I just got a text message, so I have to deal with it. Oh boy. Okay. All right. So anyway, what did I want to say? So, you know, it's so important, man. It's so important that people, if you love someone, if you're in a relationship with someone, you always should be attentive to their feelings. There's no excuse for not being it. You know, like even in that same song, Prince said, "And maybe I'm like my mother, she's never satisfied." You know, when someone is never satisfied, that can make you crazy.
And you know what? That's a commonality. And all I'm saying is that you say when you love someone, when you really love someone,
You know, you go back to the basic marriage vows, which are so beautiful. You know, those words were poignant, and they were well depicted. But I want to just insert one additional thing that has come up in our previous talks that we've had. I think one of the audience members came out and beautifully stated, we're living in a disposable world. You know, one of the first things, I used to watch your Dr. Phil's or your Sally Jesse Raphael's, or, you know, there were a host of talk shows. And it would commonly come up. They'd say, kick them to the curb. And that would always stab me in the heart. It's like, who are you to tell someone that's been with this person, you just heard about it on a talk show, you don't know what they invested interest in, and the disposable discussion was kick him to the curb. How many songs were songwriters? How many people have commonly said that? They trash somebody so quickly. They're so willing to dispose a relationship, and there's kids involved. So we have to be careful that we don't get the soot of the world on us, where we no longer see things clearly, where we're no longer palatable. I do appreciate what you're saying, Wardell. I know, I can sense it's sensitive. I'm just saying that sometimes you need professional help. Sometimes I've done marriage counseling. And one of the best things I've ever come up with in a marital environment, the person, I remember the gentleman, he's deceased, and the girl went on to live her life. And they were only married 9 months. And they were ready to get divorced. And he was a big hulking guy. He was crying. He came to me. He said, "Phoenix, I really need your help." And I sat him down, and I commended them for sitting down at the marriage counseling. And I said, "You know, tell me a little about what's going on." Well, he got to speak. Well, she. I said, "Oh, okay. But can I ask you a question? Have your attention. What is it that you have personally done that has contributed to the problem that brought you here today?" I hear a whole laundry list of what he does wrong. Does he look any better or worse than the day? No. Actually, he lost weight. Is he doing that? Yeah, he got a good job. Yes, he's associating with better friends. Then what is it? And I don't want to tell you, but I'm going to tell you what she said. It hit me like a set of bricks. She says, I love him, but I fell out of love with him. Oh, my God. I was crushed because she admitted that he's a better guy than the day she met him. But she says, I fell out of love with him. And I used the biblical thing. I used God, and I said, you're at the table and of judgment seat and what everybody always imagines that day would be, the pearly gates, however you imagine. And God says, you know what? Her name was Nadine. You've done very well, and you've gone to school. You've educated yourself. You've done this and that. But I don't know. I just fell out of love with you. How would you feel? It hit her like a ton of, she says, oh, my God. I said, really? You don't want to do that. But if it is a disposable thing, and you don't take an accountability, or like you said earlier, responsibility for teaching someone how to treat you, that's a skill set. I mean, I loved it when you said it, Wardell, but I questioned in my mind how many of my buddies, and they're all professionals, have that vernacular or have that capability. I'd have to say a slim margin. Out of 100%, maybe 1% of my friends have that ability because they're so full of themselves. They're so caught up in their careers and sports and their music. They're not really listening to their wives.
Well, you just made a point, and I want to point that out, what you just said, that people are caught up in their careers. And, you know, our careers are beautiful. And it's a wonderful gift and an opportunity for us to make money and share our gifts with the world and take care of our families. But ultimately, right, the most important thing should be our families, right?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, when someone's caught up in their career over their family, then, you know, that's the beginning of the problem to me right there, that your career is just something you do to take care of what you have. It should not be that is everything, and everything else is just, you know, something else or whatever. I can't see making my family secondary, you know, and I'm talking about my second, third, fourth, fifth cousins. They all matter. Everybody matters. And so to me, I think that it's really sad when the person, rather female, male, have that mentality that things are, I mean, you're going to fail in a relationship if
Absolutely.
That's going to be your mentality. You have really set yourself up for failure.
You know, I always think about mother, you know, the creator, even when he references his own love, he uses a mother as a gauge for us as imperfect humans to understand or to translate what he really means. You know, a mother, if a mother has one slice of bread, who is she going to give that bread to? Is she going to eat it? Or is she going to give it to a child? Now, if you put a man in that perspective, he's got one piece of chicken, and he just came home. He's a truck driver, and he's been working all day, and there's one piece of chicken. Who do you think he's going to give that chicken to typically, a typical male? He's going to gobble it down. So a mother puts the needs of her young ahead of herself. And even our grand creator uses that as a testimony for us to appreciate, love the needs of others ahead of yourself. Something to consider. That's something that I think personally is missing in today's society, because it is a disposable world. Oh, forget him or forget her. Kick her to the curb. You don't need that. That's not the best way to do it.
Amen. Listen, I'm going to read something to you from the listeners, and you're going to love this. Jesus' love was sacrificial. He did not like that they put him on the cross, but he still loved them. Is there a lesson in there?
Absolutely. But again, you have to be, I only will caution you this way. That's a superlative sense. And I think even sometimes Christians, you know, they'll do this whole, what would Jesus do? And that's great. But we're not Jesus. And sometimes you step on our toe, we go, ouch. We're imperfect.
Jesus
we make
did too.
Mistakes.
He
we
said,
make,
ouch.
Right, but he was the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
He was the greatest man who ever lived. We pale in comparison. And
Absolutely.
I would just caution. That's why we have to pray. That's why we have 66 books as a Christian. We're constantly reminded the same thing over and over and over again. We're imperfect. And all I'm saying, and I hold true, sometimes you have to know when to hold it, when to fold it, when to say, I need help. When to be able to go to a mature brother, a mature sister, a neutral partner, and say, you know what, I can't handle this. What do I, even pastors, go to other pastors, pastoral pastors for counseling, even psychologists have their own psychologists. We all need help. And the moment that you think you don't, you know, they say, the scripture says, the one is standing, see that to it that he doesn't fall.
So
you have
right
to
there,
be, you have
right,
to be
that,
humble.
That part of the scripture is a lesson. It's telling us something.
Yeah,
and so was the other part that I just read. It's a lesson. Now, what we get, you know, it's up to us as individuals. It just depends on your walk and how you hear it, how you receive it, you know, because I could say one thing and people all over, five different people could have five different thoughts about what I just said. So it's really up to you how you receive it. And that's why it's important that we read the scriptures ourselves, because what you get out of it may be something totally different than what the pastor got out of it. You know, so we have to.
Well, the way I learned scriptures were, scriptures are like diamonds, and they have many facets, and it depends upon the angle that you look at it, that it will refract light, and it doesn't come all at once. You could read the same scripture over and over, a thousand times, and the thousand and one time you go, you have what you call a aha moment. You're like, wow, that scripture is typically talking about money or possessions, but I didn't realize it was a personal infraction of mine that had nothing to do with money. And so that's why it's a living book. But again, there are some listeners in our audiences that are not Christians. And so it would behoove us to think that this is the only approach. In the end of the day, my dad used to say this, and I think it's appropriate. You lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can send a child to school, but you can't make him think. It's personal. And you have to take the initiative. And you have to be willing to say, I don't know. Even as a counselor, I said to my wife, you know what? I'm helpless when it comes to you. I don't know. All I know is that I love you. Please don't beat me up because I love you. I don't know what else to do. Teach me how to be a better person. She said to me one day, honey, teach me how to be a better wife. I was so happy that it hurt. I didn't know what else to do. I was like a kid in a candy store. So what is being applied? Humility. What is being applied? The willingness to say, I don't know. I think sometimes as men, Wardell, we are so quick to say, well, you know what, honey? The brakes are squealing. It's probably the lining. And you're, I don't know.
Well, men are, a lot of men that will not stop for directions. They'll just keep driving. And then when they really get lost, then they go, oh, wait, let me ask. But their wife said, I told you that a long time ago to ask for help. Now we're way out of the way, like maybe 2 hours in the wrong direction. That was for my friend. But anyway, so listen. We got 7 minutes left. I want to read another thing from the listeners. This is beautiful. Loving is the climate of a relationship. Liking is the weather, and every day has a different forecast. But it's the climate we are really living in. No, it's the climate where we really live. And so we that is so true. Love. Is it? That's it. That's the foundation to me. That's it. And I think it's our responsibility as especially Christians to love each other despite the fact, because I can love you even if I don't like you. Like I love my ex-wife. I love her. She's the mother of my children. I don't like her because it's what she does. You know, that caused us to get a divorce. But I love her. I swear if anything happens to her, it will hurt me. It will break me inside because I love her.
That's a beautiful – I love the illustration of what the listener said because, you know, sometimes, you know, we paint with a broad brush. But the finer notes, which I think her comment or his comment, whatever the case may be, speaks of the gradations, the different levels. Of course, love is at the pinnacle, but the climate could be the day-to-days and the weather changing. You know, right now and yesterday it rained. That's very unusual for Vegas. This morning it was cold. Man, I was pulling my comforters over my head. But typically it's hot. So are we flexible? Are we inflexible? Are we willing to adjust? I've heard people say, oh, you know, it's a terrible day. You know, it's raining. If you went to a hospital and you dealt with someone who has an abnormality or the loss of limb, they would say it's a beautiful day just to open my eyes. It's relative. Do you appreciate the weather changes? Do you recognize that the rain, although it might have inconvenienced you, it's allowed you to eat today because the farmer had a better harvest? It affected your pocket. So there's so many variables. And I think sometimes we can be short-sighted. We don't look at all the variables. We're selfish. But when we become flexible and we become humble, no matter if you're a Christian, you're a Muslim, you're a Buddhist, we all are humans, and we are not impervious to the pressures or the changing climates of relationships. Be careful. Take responsibility. Sometimes pump the brakes and say, you know what, let me take my leave before I say something bad to hurt you. Because sometimes that's the hardest thing, is to retract a sour note to what you said. You know, you and I are musicians. If we recorded a song and you were in the key of A minor and you hit a just a bad rock note, man, you got to erase that. You got to edit that out. Because if you don't, it'll be on the record forever. Let's weed out those imperfections. Let's take the time, like you said, take responsibility. But if you get to the point where you hit the wall, honest enough, be humble enough to say, we need professional help. Would you be opposed for us sitting down at a marriage counselor? And most of the times, it might get a little opposite. Then you say, you know what? Yeah, let's check it out. Because we're at that point. It just depends.
Oh,
that's my two cents.
That's good. Hey, so I want to say thank you. I know it's kind of an intense conversation. And I really would like to, there's a lot more that I would like to say about this. I know we'll be back on Thursday. Maybe we could tap into it before we go into the next topic. But it's there's some deep stuff here, because I shouldn't say that word, but I dislike it when people are in that dark place of confusion and not knowing if this is going to, you know, how to deal with this situation. And I think a lot of times people could say, I love you, but I don't like you, because the part of the reason why I don't like you is because you won't listen to me. You won't spend time with me. I need you to understand that I have feelings too. And you always want to go out, and I'm trying to talk to you about our relationship and our issues, and other things are more important, like fixing stuff around the house and working. And I respect the fact that you have to work, but we have to work on our relationship too. And it just saddens me, because I know people that are in that position, and it is ugly. So I want to be able to, when we come back, to talk about what is it that we can do? I mean, you did mention counseling and stuff like that, but for the people that, some people can't afford all that, going to counseling, and some people can't afford not to go. But for the ones that are like...
And sometimes it's free. There are many programs that are offered free. I just wanted to add that life in a relationship is like being on a raft. And sometimes, you mentioned a dark place. Sometimes we don't realize how far we drifted off the sea. We fell asleep. And then when we awakened, we don't even see the ground. We don't see land anymore. All we see is a horizon of water. And we're in this dark place, and we've drifted. We're disoriented. It doesn't matter about our money anymore. We're Gilligan. We're not even on the island yet. And so how do we get back to shore? You know, we're in this dark place. Sometimes we rely on our own selfish inclinations, or we try to bury the hatchet, so to speak. We need a rescue team at that point. And there's no other way around it. There's no other, even our creator, you know, is there. But if you don't elicit his help, if you don't humble yourself to your creator, no matter what your faith base is or lack thereof, you've cut off the light source.
Yes. Absolutely.
Things to think about.
Yes, sir. Very well said. And Yeah, I apologize because, like I said, there's a lot going on right now, and so I.
Well,
will,
you know, I know my you brother. You know, I,
yeah.
You know, I know, and guess what? In the end of the day, you have to be you, because everybody else is already taken. And you have to take, when I go to Walmart to fulfill a prescription, I don't ask for Wardell's. I mean, not unless I'm just picking up yours for you. I have to pick up Phoenix's prescription. And I have to be ready to take my bitter medicine. Keep that in mind as well. It's not a one-size-fits-all, friends. There's different strokes, different folks.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Humility, humility, humility. We need it. More of it.
Yes, sir. And so, you know, it's my birthday coming up.
Oh, so you're going to be an old man? Is that what you're saying? Hey, do that all by yourself, because I'm blank, blank going on 16.
I'm
a young man.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to live to grow old, right? So that's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I want to thank Astrid. Her and her sons sent me two beautiful shirts, and it really blessed my heart. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate that very much. And one of the shirts says, "Good boys go to heaven, bad boys go to Amsterdam." I said, oh, man, I've been to Amsterdam. Does that make me a bad boy? Does that
no, but
that
I think the pun is Amsterdammed. That's what I got initially. It's a double entendre.
So I will be I have been there, and so it makes me a bad boy. That means I may have to vote for Detroit Pistons. the bad boys. And so my birthday is this weekend, man. So I'm gonna have a wonderful solar weekend, God willing. You know, I'm gonna have a good. I'm gonna celebrate life. And I think, you know, we lost another brother. So I'm going to find out what's going on, and I will keep everybody posted. But God is good all the time, and He is faithful. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to do this show and try to be a blessing to our brothers and sisters around the world that may be going through, you know, some difficult times, you know, in their relationship. Because,
well, I think we touched on some things. There's some anecdotal things. There are some creative things we can do. Just keep it open. Keep open. It doesn't matter what your religious affiliation is. It doesn't matter your social, economic situation, how good you look or how bad you look or your health. Humility plays such a beautiful role when you say, I don't know. I need help. I'm sorry. You know, sorry. Well, how about that? It's one of the hardest things for people. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean that. I love you. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. In the book of Corinthians, there's a beautiful passage there worth investigating, maybe, even those who are not Christian. You know, I'm always a strong preponderant of, we go to the library and read William Shakespeare. You know, certain words, Mahatma Gandhi, who was not a Christian, and he said, you know, the day that your country and my country followed the words of the Sermon on the Mount, we wouldn't have half the problems in the world. Beautiful thoughts. So let's put them to practice.
Amen. Well, guys, thank you so much for hanging out with Phoenix and myself, and thanks, Phoenix, so much for sharing your wisdom and your time with us. We appreciate you. All right, and
I love you.
Much love to you and your wife, and we'll be back after this. All right.
Listening to Solar Records Radio, of course. So we're mixing it up on a Tuesday in the second hour, of course. This is It with Phoenix. Of course, the second hour with yours truly, Don Fleming, of course, the next 45 minutes. That was music from, by the way, that was music from SOS Band from 1983. Tell Me If You Care, and I definitely love that song. Of course, that was one of Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis' earliest early success songs as far as just their prowess as super producers. And of course they worked with SOS Band, they worked with Human League, they worked with Climax, so just to name a few. So and of course the Control album, we can't even talk about the Control album, we can't even talk about the New Edition Any Heartbreak album, because again they just put a stamp on good music, on good R&B music. So shout out to them. Shout out to the SOS Band. Get better, hopefully. Want to send thoughts and prayers to Miss Mary Davis. Of course, she was sick for a little while, and I think she's doing a little better. So I want to send shouts out to Miss Mary Davis from the SOS Band. But you know what? Let's go ahead and go into some music. Since we're mixing it up today, it's only fair to go into another song. So got to get her back on the show. We had her on the show a few weeks ago, last couple of minutes. You know, she was running a little late, but it's all good, though. But got to get her back on. She's a friend of mine. Shout out to Miss JoJo McDuffie from the Mary Jane Girl. Let's go ahead and keep this music going. This is Candyman. You guys keep it locked right here. Solar Records Radio.
Thank you. I finally made my heart beat dance.
Listening to This Is It, or actually not This Is It. This is Mixing It Up today on Solar Records Radio. Don Fleming, Wardell Podge, music from Kashif. You know what? This past block, this whole block was songs from the year 1983. I didn't even realize that until I said, wait a minute, All those songs from 1983. Of course, that was Stone Love by Kashif, the late, great Kashif. Before that, I had to hook up a little Living for Your Love by the lovely Melba Moore, of course, from 1983. And then I started off Candyman, my girls, the Mary Jane Girls, Girls from 1983. And again, about 25 minutes left of the show, Wardell Potts is hanging out. We're mixing it up, man. So
absolutely.
What do we talk a little bit about the first hour, man, for all those who are just tuning in, man, and what was the conversation about?
Oh, man. So the conversation is really kind of an intense conversation because any time it has something to do with love, Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have no idea what to expect. But we really had a great conversation, and it's about I love you, but I don't always like you. And when you're in a situation like that, it's bad, because usually if you love someone, but you don't like them, you've been with them for a minute. So it's normally not at the beginning of a relationship, but it's usually in love with someone. And we used the reference of a Smokey Robinson song, really had I'll tell you what that is, but it was just intense in the sense that, you know, people, we teach people how to treat us. And if you're mm-hmm. not feeling good about something, tell them. Don't you know how people do with their cars, is something break and then I'll get to it, and then something else break and I'll get to it. They, next thing you know, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg, and you might have to get rid of the car because you can't even afford to get it fixed. And that's exactly what happens in relationships. If you don't fix it as you go, it could cost you a relationship, the whole relationship. So I just think that we should but anyway, the song was by The Miracles, and it's You Really Got a Hold of Me. And just the lyrics in that song, it's really said everything that we were trying to talk about today. You know, it's like, I love you, but I need you. I don't like you, but I need you. And I want to be with you, but I don't like you. And it's just like this oxymoron that you find yourself in. It's like, why am I in this? But why can't I leave? Because you got a hold on me. That's love that's got a hold of me. And love is like, this is where we belong. This is where we're supposed to be. This is it. But you're not doing your job in terms of telling that person, you know. And sometimes you do your job and you tell that person, I don't like that you're acting that way. I don't like what you're doing. And that person don't make any changes. They continue to move and navigate the same way. And it's very stressful for the person on the other side of it. You know, I think we need to treat each other the way we want to be treated. And, you know, if you don't want to be in a stressful relationship, don't put your mate in a stressful relationship, especially when they tell you they don't like something and you continue to do it anyway. That's so selfish. Don't make it about you. Don't make it about you. It's about us. This is a two-way thing, and some people are just very arrogant, and I'm paying all the bills, I'm doing everything, you just do what I say. No.
Right.
That, you know, if you meet somebody like that, right, you might not know that they're like that, because some people are good at hiding who they are, because they're really after they're after what they can get, right? And they just want what they want, but they're not revealing who they really are until they get you, and then they got you, and now you're falling for this person that's not really real. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's not who you made me think you were. And now I'm in this with you? Like, we're on on this ship, just you and I, and I don't even know you. I can't get off right now. Because I would hurt myself, you know, out in the middle of the ocean. I got to figure this thing out, or we got to work it out. And so But if you have a partner that don't want to work it out, man, I love you, but I can't stand I can't stand you because you got my love and you won't let me do or let us do what it takes to make it last forever. Because as soon as I can, I'm out of here. You know, I'm out of here. And it's a sad reality that happens to so many people all the time. And man, so anyway, so that's what we talked. I told you it was kind of intense.
It seemed like it was, man. You know, I'm not even gonna try to add my two cents on that one, but I think it's something that you know, a lot of you don't know who needed to hear that, who needed to understand, because at the end of the day, it's about the compatibility and about the chemistry that you have with each other. Unfortunately, some things, there are some circumstances that may, you know, you'll probably be in a circumstance that you might not, you know, you can't get out of. So you're doing it out of necessity. So, but anyway, there are many factors, you know, hey, you and Phoenix tore it up today. So shout out to you guys. We got about another 19 minutes left of the show. Of course, we are mixing it up. Don Fleming, Wardell Potts Jr. hanging out on Solar Records Radio. And I want to play something, you know, from a newer artist. I love playing her song. Wardell likes it too. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do this for him off the album Kismet Green. This is the lovely Carlita Duran. The name of the song is called I Guess. You guys keep it locked right here. Solar Records Radio.
Don't need dream about you and now. Summer's come and gone, and the nights, they seem so long. Come on over tonight. Come on over. It's gonna be a cool night. Just let me hold you.
Another 10 minutes left of the show. Remember yesterday, I played that song yesterday because that is that's what you call easy listening. And I was a big fan of that easy listening / soft rock / maybe blue-eyed soul. Because here's the thing. It was played on a lot of black radio back in the day. So, you know, what you may call soft pop, soft rock, you know, it was Blue Eyed Soul. That was Paul Davis from 1981. The name of the song is called Cool Night. And, of course, before that, I had to hook up a little Carlita Duran. You know, of course, we had her on the show a couple of months back. She's amazing. She's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to
us,
Cordell.
I love her. I love her much. And, guys, don't forget tomorrow, Indie Jazz Day on Solar Records Radio. Speaking of the sounding just like the music. Sounding just like the music you hear in the background. Ooh, Indie Jazz Day, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. Join us as we just have a good time. And it's hump day, and so we're going to chill.
Hump day! We're getting over the hump.
We're going to chill. We're going to have good food, good music, and good company. And so let us be the supplier of the music for you. And if you don't have company, we could do that too, because we're always in the studio by ourselves anyway. So come hang out. And so anyway, that's pretty much it, guys. We love you, and we just ask that you love each other, because you never know. You just never know, you know, if you'll get that chance again. So keep your hearts open and be good to each other. And, you know, just leave that legacy and that love out there.
Again, this has been, you know, this year has been, you know, over the past 2 years, I know with COVID and, you know, and of course, unfortunate tragedies, you know, happen, you know, but naturally anyway, COVID just didn't help it. But again, like you said, I want to piggyback on what you said and actually repeat what you said. Yes, call somebody up basically and tell them that you love them, you know, because you don't know if tomorrow's promised to you. And, you know, at the same time, you know, just take care of your health. Take care. That's all we
Please.
Ask.
Yes, that's right. And so that's why
we got about
Saturday.
Another eight minutes left of the show. We got about another 8 minutes left of the show. Go ahead, Wardell. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, that's okay. That's why on Saturdays, you know, we have our show is really a health conscious show where we, you know, deal with health. And, you know, we've been doing a lot of cardiovascular. And then this month we started Breast Cancer Awareness Month because of its Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And but we're going to continue to talk about it. There was a lot of things that we had discovered, like men have breast cancer. We didn't know that, right, Don?
Yeah.
Had no idea, you know. So, you know, just learning more about, you know, our bodies. And then also we will be talking about dementia and Alzheimer's next month. And so we have one more Saturday, which I thought we already went through all the Saturdays in this month, but this is a long month. As a matter of fact, this Saturday is my birthday.
Yes.
And this Saturday is my birthday. And I know it's my birthday's coming up because everyone starts to dress up and look a little weird, you know. So I see my kids who got vampire fangs. I'm like, oh, God. So, yep, birthday month. And so anyway, so guys, thanks again. Thanks, Don Fleming. Thanks to Phoenix. And thanks to Astrid and Greg for, you know, just being associate producers. And we appreciate you guys and love you guys very much. So we are up and out of here. And Don's going to close us out with whatever his heart desires.
You know what? I want to do a little, kind of a little preview of tomorrow. Of course, tomorrow we're celebrating Indie Jazz Wednesday. And it's only fair to close out with one of my all-time favorite jazz artists. I grew up, you know, it's funny. I grew up watching him. Well, I grew up on his music, but as far as, like, seeing his face, like, every other week, he used to be on Miami Vice. And that gentleman I'm talking about, of course, is the late, great Miles Davis. And I got to close out, give you a classic. Well, an instant classic from Miles Davis featuring the lovely Miss Layla Hathaway. This is called So Emotional, mixing it up on Solar Records Radio. We're going to close it out. I'm Don Fleming, Wardell Potts. We'll see you guys tomorrow for Indie Jazz Wednesday. Until then, you guys have a safe and prosperous Tuesday night, Tuesday, all that good stuff. Good night, guys.
Good night. Good night.
See right through me. Can I take a chance? to kindred spirits, taking time.
Can't wait.